Well, thank you very much. I'm going to kind of give you a little follow-up on some of the work we've been doing. And I want to acknowledge several of my past and present graduate students and some of my colleagues. I didn't list them because I was afraid I'd leave somebody out. I've had a lot of people work with me on this. What I want to talk about is, in the last number of years, we've made some very significant gains on conserving soil water. Some of that's already been talked about today. Now, what I'd like to go a little bit further step and see if we can do a little better job in utilizing that water. And we've been growing plants in clumps. We certainly don't have all the answers, but I want to throw out some ideas to you. First, there's nothing new about this. I took this picture from off the wall of our museum. Indians grew corn in clumps many years ago, and they still do it today. This picture was taken by one of my colleagues about 3 or 4 years ago out in the Hopi Indian Reservation. They're still growing corn there in very low rainfall, and they grow corn. I'd hate to make a living doing that, but the facts are they grow corn by putting those together. You can see in the background there's corn out there in the, somewhat the middle of the desert. Now, this is a field that we've worked with this year. This is an irrigated center pivot, and we put plots up and down this field. This was in irrigated grain sorghum last year and after wheat, and this was dryland wheat. So this is dryland, and this is a field that we worked with this summer. You can see up here, this was the irrigated area and this was dryland, and we worked with the farmer and he had a 12 row planter, so our plots were 12 rows wide. This was in the no-till. We're planting corn there. Now, we planted that corn in four different geometries. We used 12,000 plants per acre, 30,000 per hectare. That's a very low plant population, but for dry land, we have to keep the plant population low. And when we do, sometimes those plants tiller, but they've got a lot of space. But we had this is our control, and those plants are about 17 inches apart. And then we had a skip row, except we did not have a skip all the way down. We had five plants, and then we skipped the space for five plants, and then the next plant we had five. So this is exactly the same number of plants, but the plants are twice as close together as they are in the regular row. Then we had our clumps. Our clumps were three plants together. They were about 3.5 inches apart. Again, the same plant population. Then we had the skip row. This is just showing the control. Those plants are about 17 inches apart. And what you notice when you grow plants like this in the dry land, now look at that plant. Every one of those leaves is getting 100% sunshine. Every leaf has got 100%. And here's where we have them in the clumps. We have three plants together. Now notice, they grow different. The architecture changes. These plants tend to grow up. They're probably looking for light. But they tend to grow upward compared to where they grow outward. And now we've got a leaf shading a leaf. And that's cutting down, we think, on the transpiration. Sometimes you'll get tillers produced. Those tillers are excess baggage, in my opinion, because they're using water, they're using nutrients, but they're not going to produce any grain. This is later on in on our control plot, and this is what always happens under our dry land conditions. This is our clumps. They're still wilted, but they're not wilted as bad. Now, this is the yields that we got this year. We harvested by combine with the yield monitor, and we also took hand samples. That's the reason I have students. They took the hand samples, I rode the combine. we got no difference in our geometries. Now we're up there at around 6,000 kilograms per hectare. This is our yield monitor, and you can't see a lot of difference there. Now, we did get a difference in the moisture content. You can see here, this is our control. It was more dry, didn't show up in yield, but you can pick those out. Now down on the dry land, the yields are much lower, almost half what they were up on the irrigated. The irrigated only had 115 millimeters of rainfall of irrigation, but still, that was increased yields quite a bit. Now here's our control, and all three of our other treatments are giving us an increase in yield compared to our control. Our skip row, our what we call our cluster, and also our clump. Here again, this is showing, you can see here the clump treatment, it's more green. This is just the combine, the GPS yield data. Again, this is showing the moisture content of the grain, and again, you can see the differences in the treatments. So geometry is changing things. We had another field adjacent to this, which was sorghum following sorghum. So our yields are even, this is corn following sorghum. So our yields are even lower than they were corn following wheat. But again, here's our control, and all three of our treatments yielded greater. We're keeping those plants closer together, and I think we're getting some benefits from that. Here's again our GPS, and you can see our you can see these control treatments with the GPS showing those treatments to be now, if we put all those together, this is our control, our skip, our cluster, and our clump. This is the one that had some irrigation. We didn't get any difference, but when we got down to our drier treatments, then we are getting some increases. Now, this we're not adding any inputs. You know, so all we're doing is changing the way we're planting. Now, we also had a sorghum field this year. It was too dry. We did not get we just did not get enough plants. We planted 50,000 plants per hectare, which is still a pretty low, but we only got about half of them up. The farmer came back in with his GPS, and he went through and added some more plants to that. But still, when we ran our yields, it turned out and rained quite a bit, and we got some real high, I think very high yields for dryland grain sorghum. And at that yield level, we did not get an increase. Now, I want to switch gears for a minute and show what some of our students have done in the greenhouse. We tried to kind of simulate this in the greenhouse. We built 36 of these boxes. These boxes are 1 meter. We had 18 boxes that we grew corn in and 18 that we grew sorghum in. And we had three plants together. And then we had three plants scattered apart and then three plants scattered apart further. And we did, and in the grain sorghum, we had the same kind of a setup, except we had twice as many plants. This is in the greenhouse. We drew these, we grew these. Each pot had about 225 pounds of soil. Again, my students handle these boxes. They got heavy. But we grew these, and you can see here three plants growing together in a clump. And here's some of the plants growing further apart. And what we were interested in there is to see whether or not we could change the transpiration efficiency by keeping these plants closer together. They had the same environmental conditions. Again, you can see three plants together and three plants side by side. Now, this is just showing you the amount of water that was used. We had two treatments. Half of those boxes, every time we used 25% of the plant available water, we brought them back to field capacity. The dry treatment, we let them get down to 25% remaining. So they were pretty darn dry. And this is the amount of water that the wet treatment used, and this is the amount of water that the wet corn treatment used, dry corn. This is a grain sorghum. Now notice there's a heck of a difference between the amount of water that the corn used and the amount that the grain sorghum used. But when you look at this on grams of water that it took to produce a gram of dry matter, it essentially made no difference whether you grew corn or grain sorghum. We got 4.4 grams of dry matter per liter of water. And if we use just half as much water, our biomass was still the same. So even though that dry treatment was very dry, we produced as much dry matter per gram of water as we did with the wet treatment. Now the grain is much different. But again, notice, this is probably, we haven't had a chance to run all the statistics on this. It's probably not going to be significantly different. But every case, our clump had a higher water use efficiency than our control. In the dry treatment, the same thing. In the sorghum, the same thing. The dry treatment, the same thing. And also in the grain production. So it does appear that we have some effect on that. This shows the, on that dry treatment, it was probably too darn dry. This was our wet treatment for corn, and this is our dry. This is our control. We never got an ear of corn on the control. We always got an ear of corn on the clump. Wasn't very big. This was the first rep. This is going backward. This is the second rep. That's the third rep. That's not much to write home about. It's not much to brag about. But the facts are, we always got an ear of corn. By keeping those plants together, we never got one. And then the grain sorghum, very similar. This was our wet, this was our dry. Well, now there's many things that I don't know. But I think we ought to keep our mind open. I think we ought to try some different things about how to grow plants. Now, this is not a good thing, but it tells me that we're having an effect, because on our corn in the field, we got more smut in our clumps than we did in our rows. Now, I don't want to grow smut, but that smut tells me that we changed the humidity within that. We changed the microclimate. And it was a wet year. On most years, I don't think that'll happen, but it does happen. So we are making a difference. Thank you very much.